So I'll be discussing an interesting topic tonight about can you use an animal or a person as a mechitza, a doifen for the sukkah? Can you do that? Does that work or not? Okay, so let's see what the halacha is. See if you'd aleph. What do you think? What do you think? If you've got an animal, can you use it?
I don't know how this sick idea came up.
Why? Well, you've got no walls. But you've got a donkey. So, no, you tie. There's nothing wrong with it. No, you can. No, you don't need this. Let him loose in the middle and tie him again. Says the Shulchan Aruch the following. Oisim mechitz mebalei chayim. You can make a mechitza out of an animal. You make a tight rope and you tighten it to the and you can use an animal as a doifen. Yes, you can use your animal as a doifen. Why not? So you have to make sure it doesn't move. It says the Mishnah Berurah, you're right. Why is it Tzar Balechaim? So you can let him loose. You can let him loose afterwards. Doesn't have to be... Very good. That's a good question. Well, the fact whilst it's there, you can let him loose afterwards. Now you're asking, that's a very good question. A sukkah needs to be roi for so that's an excellent question. An absolutely brilliant question. The question is that the sukkah needs to be roi for 7 days. A sukkah that is not going to be lasting for 7 days is not a good sukkah. So you're saying, so how can that be? The answer to that question is that really the sukkah, it's a very good question. But the answer is that since I could keep it there. I could tighten it strong enough but I'm not going to do it. But I could, in theory, do it. So therefore, it's roi. It's roi. It could be. So I don't know why. I don't know much about animal. About birds, I know. But I don't know if you've got animals. They'd like to be. They probably like to be. Do they all like to be roaming around? A bit of.
Probably animals big enough.
Yeah.
I can think what happened after 7 days if you have a horse, you have a pizza from his out, from his
weight. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Let's just see first the Mishnah Berurah, then I'm happy to discuss that. Mibalei chayim, im yesh chalal ben ragleat. Think about if you've got a huge animal, that there is a chalal, there's a hole. Penalty between its legs, gavoya mishloisha tfachim, more than 3 tfachim, tzorich legodro. You'd have to fill them up. That means if you've got a huge, you've got this giraffe, or this, I don't know what you've got in your back garden, and you've got a horse, even though it's got halal, they've got a hole there which is bigger than 3 tvachim. So that would be a problem there. So you have to fill that in as well. So put over there lots of hay, put something else there, something that you're closing off the gaps. So mind the gaps, as they say.
Wouldn't you consider the horse a Pesach?
Yeah. No, you can't hold. No, good question. You can't call it Tzuras HaPesach. No, it wouldn't work at Tzuras HaPesach for various reasons. No. It's a nice thought, though. It's Sifkot Nun Gimel, Sheikshoy, says Mishnah Berurah, Kedei Shalo Etuch HaLivrach, in order that I shouldn't escape. So the reason why you have to the Shulchan Aruch said, Sheikshoy Sham Behem Ole Doif, and they should tighten it, that it shouldn't go, it should tighten it. So that's just for the very practical reason that it shouldn't escape. Gam Tzuch Shetie Mesucho Lemalo Bechavolem, he also has to be should be all tight, or should be high enough. Just ensure that you've got an area of 10 tfachim. If you would sit down, or would lie down, or whatever it would be that you would die, in fact, it would be a 10 tfachim. Just make sure they've got the entire height over there. I don't know what is that. You're really shocked about it. You really, what is it? What bothers you?
First of all, how can you feel comfortable
if you've got an elephant, then...
Yeah, the shepherd's going into the cage, and then, you've got this. Needs to do the animal boundary.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Then, if we learn yesterday, it can move a lot.
Okay.
So you need to tie the legs as well, not just to the neck, yeah?
Yeah.
then it's Tzar Balei Chaim.
Okay. So can I just discuss the following case? Tell me what you think about it. A person who is in the who is traveling on Chol HaMoed in the desert, he's going from Yerushalayim to he's a few days journey. He's traveling for a few days. He hasn't got a pop-up sukkah. He's got a pop-up sukkah. And nor has he got a canvas sukkah. So what he's going to do, he's got a couple of camels. He's traveling in camels. So what he's doing, he wants to wash and eat something. He's got this camel on the right, camel on the left, and he's maybe a third camel. He's making a thing. He's putting his schach on top. He's making sure be tight, making sure they can't, just for a couple of, an hour, hour max, maybe 2 hours, because he maybe wants to have a rest in between as well. And he's going to make sure he's got a sukkah like that. What do you think about that? No, could be, yeah. Yeah.
Presumably, the moving three tfokim, even if it's only about the wind, but in terms of animals moving by themselves, we're not
Well, we are saying over Shulchan Aruch does say sheyikshe sham behemo ledoifen, that it should be, you have to make sure that it doesn't move. Sheyikshe sham behemo ledoifen, that it has to be. No, the truth is, you don't even have to be talking about three camels. It could be you've got two walls, but you haven't got a third wall, and you're using the camel as a third wall. So it could be, but we are just saying we don't want it to move.
If it's dead or heavily tranquilized, you're not going to stop it from moving a few inches here and there. I mean, more than a meter.
Pardon?
It's going to move a tefach.
It's going to move from that side. So what about the? You see, it's not going to be possible that it shouldn't move a minute amount. I see this as a question, really. You assumed, within your question, you assumed that the halacha that we discussed yesterday, Mishneh Berurah of yesterday, the machlokes Mishneh Berurah Chaznish that we discussed yesterday, whether a minute moving or a three tfachim moving, passes the mechitza. You said, you assumed, in your question, there's an assumption that's what you asked, that this is only true with regards to a material or any other type of doifen. But with regards to animals, you said for sure that it can't be possible. Now, this is a good question.
There's a riot there, the Mishnah
like the Chaznish. Yeah, because three tfachim. Do you think that it's not really shaykh to tie an animal, that it doesn't move three tefachim? It's not possible? You know what? Let's discuss this shayla after Sifyut Beis, because I think it's going to make it even worse. So Sifyut Beis. What about if you want your friend to be standing as a mechitza? Okay, you're in the middle of desert, but you haven't got any camels. But you've got a couple of friends that are traveling with you. You've got your wife, your children, your brother, and maybe your mother-in-law. Who knows? And you wanna make a mechitza. Can you ask your mother-in-law to stand, hold on for a minute, and you put some schach on top of her? Would that work? So said the Shulchan Aruch the following. Yes, you can use your friend as a mechitza. You can use your friend as a mechitza. Essentially, you can use your friend as a mechitza. Why not? It's a nice mechitza. Even on Yom Tov. Right? So if you can't. But now it is an interesting halach, which is the following. Ubelvat, however, providing shloyeida oisoi, this person must not know shehomat sham, that he was placed there shibishvil mechitza homat sham. He must know that he's been put there as a mechitza. In other words, if he's there already, and you're using him as a mechitza, then it's fine. But you may not ask him, please. You stand here, I'm making a mechitza out of you. That you may not do. And the halacha is as follows. The reason for that is as follows. So on weekdays, this wouldn't be a problem. So what's the halacha over here? Mishneh Berurah explains as follows in Tziv Kutn Nun Dalet. Mechaveiro v'chul, v'davka mechaveiro from his friend. Aval be'eimo, also la'amido b'yom tev, l'doifen shlishi la'achshir sukkah. So the halacha over here is the following. That there is an Isser to make a Mechitza Materis on Shabbos. That's going to clarify over here the sugya. There's an Isser to make a Mechitza Materis. Mechitza Materis literally means a Mechitza, a wall. Materis, which is Mater something, which allows you something. So it's a halachic point. If I'm creating a halachic status through my wall, if I'm making a halachic status through my wall, I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to. There's an issa to make a mechitza materis on Shabbos. Anything which is a halachic change, that's making a halachic change, I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos. A mechitza materis, I'm not allowed to do. Therefore, says the Shulchan, let's start, if we've got Nundalit again. That means that if I've got three walls already, I've got two walls, and I'm using my animals on Yom Tov to make that third wall. If it's Yom Tov now, I'm making on Yom Tov that third wall. It's a specific halach on Yom Tov. I'm not allowed to place my animal there on Yom Tov to be the third wall. Why? Because I'm making it the machitza materes. Before that, this was not a kosher sukkah. Now I put my animal there. Now it's a kosher sukkah. So the fact on Yom Tov, before Yom Tov also wouldn't be a problem. On Yom Tov, the fact that I'm on Yom Tov, I'm making a mechitza materes, I'm not allowed to. Before it was a posel sukkah. Now it's a kosher sukkah, that's mechitza materes. Even if I'm not tying it in a way that is also on Shabbos, I'm just doing an aniva, which means a simple knot, then it would be, that would be, it's nothing to do with knot, nothing to do with tying on Shabbos, just with the fact of making, of creating a mechitza materes. Yes.
So why can't you put your friend there?
Oh, what about the friend? So the friend is as follows. The friend says, that explains, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Cotton, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't explain. The read it with regards to, what you're asking, why?
Not an animal.
Right. So a human being, the halacha is that I'm not really allowed to, if that's what the Shulchan Aruch means over here, I'm not really allowed to use him as a mechitza materes unless he doesn't know anything about it. If he doesn't know, there's no issa to make mechitza materes, because part of the issa mechitza, yeah, good point. Let me just explain that the mechitza materes is something that if this person doesn't know he's serving as a mechitza materes, if he doesn't know, so then there is no issa of creating mechitza materes. He doesn't know. That means that providing he doesn't know that he's being used as mechitza materes, you can use that. So you can ask your mother-in-law to please hold on, can you just hold on here for a minute? It's so nice that you came. And you're putting schach, you're putting schach, and then you say, then you eat your bread, you make a mochi, eat your bread, or mazonis, whatever it may be. And I would say, it was really nice you came, you take it off, and you say, fine, you can go now. But if you're asking somebody specifically to come, and say, can you please stand here, because I need you as a mechitza, yeah, you're asking, that probably wouldn't be advisable to ask your mother-in-law for that. But if you're asking somebody, can you please come, be your mechitza, yeah, you ask your children, you stand here, don't move, you're a mechitza now, then that you wouldn't be allowed to do that, because you're making them into a mechitza materes, and that you're not allowed to.
Presumably that's only when they stand there at the beginning stage, they don't know. If they're standing there and then they realize,
yes,
then it's probably okay, because it's already been made.
I assume so. Good point. That's an excellent point. It's a very good point. I don't know. I assume you're right. Interesting, I never saw anything about it, but that's a really interesting point. I assume you're right, that if they were initially, the mechitza was created whilst they didn't know, and after you tell them about it, then, so you can probably tell them, it was really nice seeing you. You are a really great mechitza. I suppose that's true, yeah. That's an interesting question. It sounds from here, it's a very interesting question, why is it not lifnei iver? It sounds from here that there is no issa if they don't know at all. Lifnei iver means that I'm making them do something which is also. Over here, there's no issa. If they don't know, it seems like there's no issa. If you don't know, you're being a mechitza materes, don't know there's a... Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah said, because actually the Ramah says as follows. That redefines a bit further. He says, what about if it's the fourth wall? If you've got three walls, but you want to use, your wife as a fourth mechitza, can you do that? I say, you stand here, you've got three kosher walls, but you want to use somebody for the fourth wall. Can you do that or not? What do you think would be the halacha? Pardon? Exactly. That's exactly the point. Precisely that. Because you don't need to, because the sukkah is perfectly kosher, you've got three nice mechitzas, you don't need a fourth mechitza. Consequently, it's not even that. So that's what the Ramah says. That since you don't need the three mechitzas, you don't need after three mechitzas anything, so therefore you can ask her to stand there.
That's right, in the case where it's the third one.
Oh, I see. We don't call it Makeh Patish, we call it Mechitza Materes. It's Matia, the Sukkah. Because Makeh Patish, there's an aspect of creation, of not just halachic creation, but physical creation as well. That's not happening over here.
And
That's not happening, right? So the Mishrama says, "Afilu b'yomtev v'ini osur lebe'osin shalish tfanas amatirim besukah." Even yomtev, it's only also if you're asking somebody to be dead of one of the three walls. Avol b'doifen revis shari. But if you've got three walls already, and you're asking somebody to stand there for fourth wall, that's okay because you don't really need that. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "If kotten nun zayin, avol b'doifen revis shari." The kiven sheyesh hechshu sukah mikvah. Since there is already a hechshu sukah, it's a kosher sukah earlier. Loi mikri, it's not considered anymore. Loi mikri too. It's not considered anymore binyan. It's not considered a creation, a building. Rak toy surface, only an additional oil arai on a provisional tent. Veshorin it's permitted. The emissary is, I just want to remind us that we learned also with regards to Helchas Eruven in Chelek Dalet, whoever remembers that we had in Chelek Dalet exactly the same shaila. Can you make an Eruv on Shabbos? It's a very interesting shaila. Imagine somebody needs to carry something really important. You've got a medicine, or imagine what else could be really important to carry? Sefer Torah, whatever, something really important. And you want to carry from one place to another place. So imagine the following scenario. Imagine, can you use people as a mechitza? Imagine that. Imagine you have got that medicine, surrounded. Is that considered a mechitza? Surrounded by people. Then you make the mechitza a bit larger, so you can, this is like, enclosed area. You pass it on to another person who's also within that enclosed area. And then after the people move on a bit. You make a new, you pass it on again. You pass it on and again and again and again. So you could be crossing the M1, and then you could be walking in the city, and you're not on Shabbos, and you're not carrying. Does that make sense or not? Oh, very, very good. So the truth is that we learned in Chelek Dalet. I didn't check it up now, but we learned in Chelek Dalet that in Hilchas Eruvin that really people can serve as a mechitza. The answer is yes, but there is that problem. That problem exists here as well. That you can't. They must know about it. So it's going to be really difficult. But in theory, if you can get there, if you can do it, yes, people can use serve as a mechitza. Yeah. What about goyim? Yeah, interesting. Yeah, they will know. Yeah. Remember, we spoke about that then. I don't. Yeah, maybe he as well. You ask. Yeah. 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 Oh, really? So he could. The thing is that it could be though that in that particular case. But in that particular case, is that. Yeah, but he could say that.
They didn't protect him for the EU, they protected him for security, but it was like a mechitza.
Yeah, the question is that's a little bit different because over there, whilst they're moving, I'm not sure it would work. It's more that whilst they're static, they have to stop and then they pass something on. It's a little bit different what you're saying because that's the whole time it's moving. So it'll be a bit different. I'm not really talking necessarily about that. I'm talking about they replace themselves the whole time. That would be slightly different. But yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It sounds like it's an avera b'shogeg.
If it's a shogeg, yeah. It sounds like it's misas sacred anus. Very hard to understand how the shogeg altogether. But if it is a shogeg, then it would be a problem
if it's shogeg, it would be lifneiva because it would be yeah. Yeah, I hear the duke from the Mishnah Berurah. That's a good point. But it sounds like there's no. I hear. It's a good duke in Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, that's a good point. Now, the shaila that Ramnissen Karelitz was asked, which I think is a really interesting shaila. Imagine you're not asking a goy, like in your case, you're asking a yid to be standing in mechitza. And then he's standing there, and then yid is. So you're asking somebody, who could you think could ask for a mechitza? Maybe that would be a good punishment if you don't want to send somebody in the corner, one of your children in the corner, as a punishment. Maybe you can just ask him to stand as a mechitza. Don't move. So the person who is standing as a doifen of the mechitza, it's an interesting question. Can he eat in the? Is that considered eating in the sukkah or not? Okay, so if he's facing inside, yeah, he could eat. Yeah, in the sukkah. Is not under the tchach? Yeah.
Yeah.
if he's facing inwards, yeah.
It's not
the
mission.
It's on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Emes says that Pashtus, the truth is that Pashtus he could. Many Rav Nissim Kerelet just said that really he should. But it's a very interesting, I think it's a nice svara, a nice thought, that maybe it's no good. That the quote over here from one of the Achronim, an interesting thought, is that you, when you eat in the sukkah, the halach is you need to eat within the walls of the sukkah. You always need to eat within the walls of the sukkah. So is that individual eating within the walls of the sukkah, or is he not eating within the walls of the sukkah? So you could argue that he's not. He's not eating within the walls. So could be that's not good enough. Could be that's not good enough. God is there.
He is the wall,
yeah. Yeah, you could argue. Yeah, that's probably how Mr. Kellett understands. Maybe like you're saying that. You can't, of course, he's in the wall. He's the wall himself. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. So you're going back to that point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. No, it's true. It's a good point, that. It's a good point. It's a very nice thought.
And so, if you've got two walls there and you get this person to stand there, he's got to stand there first before you put the scarf on.
Because of Tazman and Osri? Yes. Probably, yeah. Probably, well, yeah.
But so he stands there, and how can you put the skachon on the Osri? That would be top of it.
So you think, how would you do that, practically speaking? You've got two walls. No, you could have two walls, right? You could have two walls plus, and the skach is there. Then it would be a Tazman and Osri. Good point. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. How are you getting around with Tassir and Osu? Yeah. That's an interesting point. I don't know the answer to that question. I think it's a really interesting question, that. I don't know the answer.
And I'm also still not sure why the person can do it, but the animal can't. The animal doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
Even better.
Why the animal? What's the question again? Why is it that the animal...
You can't put an animal without hanging on to it.
The person who doesn't know, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that the answer is that because there is an animal hasn't got das at all, so you the issa goes back to you that you are creating a mechitza materes.
So if he has got some das,
yeah,
so correct
das. Exactly. Probably something on those lines. But an interesting shaila, which is actually which we can learn from here, we can pass in from here, an interesting shaila, which we can see from this sif. Very much so, in fact. What's the halacha? Imagine you've got a sukkah that comes out from your house. So you're adding three walls to your house. But for some reason or another, I mean, you've got to think of the scenario yourself. But for some reason, you need to close the shutters of your window or of your house. You need to close it in order that the mechitza is a good mechitza. Can you think of some sort of case? Oh, very good. That's a good example. Excellent. Very good. So imagine you've got three walls that is coming out from your door. Right. That as long as your door is open, it's not a kosher. It's not a kosher. You wouldn't have a kosher. For some reason, the third wall is not good enough. In fact, you know what? Let's not talk about third wall. There's two walls coming out from your. You've got only two walls. So only when you close the patio, only then you're going to have a third wall, and that's going to be a kosher. Sukkah. Okay, now think about the following case. Am I allowed to close this patio on Shabbos or not? So, really, closing and opening on Shabbos should be okay. Because I'm not creating anything, it's not locking, it's not building, it's not binyan, it's not makabe patesh, it's nothing. But over here, there's another shaila. What's the shaila over here? What's the shaila? Making mechitza materes. When I close it, it suddenly becomes a mechitza materes. I'm making a mechitza materes. I'm now making this sukkah into a kosher sukkah. It's no different, lichoira, seemingly it's no different than the person I'm telling him I'm not allowed to make a mechitza materes. I'm not allowed to make something into a sukkah, into a doifen, a mechitza materes. So why is that any different? So is that okay or not? And that's very noigea, because you know, sometimes if you close this, I can imagine myself some cases that would be a problem. What do you think?
Maybe if your intention is not to do it, then you're not doing it for that reason. We said before that if the person doesn't know about it, if the das isn't there, if he's always doing his opening and closing to get out and in, and he's not intending to...
Not intending, yeah.
Maybe that would help.
Yeah, that's interesting. If you put the scarf on,
you
Yeah, when the walls are not kosher. Oh, are not? Oh, kosher, yeah. Yeah, so the truth is, it sounds like for many poskim that they are saying what you are saying. So I would say that at first glance, there's no difference. At first glance, you're really making mechitzah materes. And it should be a problem. But some achronim, it sounds like from Shlomo Zalman as well, that he's saying something on the other side, but I can't exactly explain it because I don't fully understand it. But it sounds like something on your lines. That since it's already a full-fledged sukkah, it's a complete sukkah, it's probably something on your lines as well. That it's a full-fledged sukkah already, and it's just a matter of opening and closing, so that's not really considered making a mechitzah materes. I can't explain it better than that because to be honest, I don't fully understand it, but it's because it's just probably because it's something that keeps on opening and closing or something like that, then it's not considered a mechitzah materes. What do you think? You'd allow it or not? It's a bit hard to yeah. So we are talking about a case that there's no shiloh boina. You're quite right. If there would be a real boina shiloh, that's a proper building, you have to. There's still an issue of constructing something, of creating something. You're right. It would be also anyway. But I'm talking about even if there isn't. Is there still a problem of making it mechitzah materes? See if you'd gimel. Okay, a person, this is talking about a case of somebody's making a sukkah out of his, he's using the mechitzas out of his bedposts. So you've got a bed, and the bedpost by his legs, and the bedpost by his head goes further up. And then he's covering that with schach. Okay. So now the question is, we know that, what's the minimum shiur of a sukkah? 10. You're right, I know what you mean, but really, it's 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim. So now, where do you count the 10 tefachim? From the bed or from the ground? What would you say? Top of bed, you're quite right. Why is that? That's right, that is the ground. Absolutely. Shulchan Aruch. Ha'soymech sukkosu al karei. Somebody is making a sukkah out of the bedposts. And the bedposts have a mechitzas out of mechitzas. If there are 10 tefachim, min amito, from the bed, laschach to the schach, cheiro it's kosher. And if there aren't 10 tefachim from the bed till the schach, psulo it's posul. Veim somach aschach ala amudim. If you did it slightly different, you put around the bed, beyond the bed, you put posts around it. And those posts, those pillars are going to be tfanois. Then, in other words, is there a picture of that? I think there was a picture. So if it's, you're making out of the bed. So this is the bed post that we said that you need to count from the bed. But if you're making beyond it, then can you just pass it around? If you're making outside the bed post, you're making outside the bed. Outside, you're making bed post. You're making outside the bed. You're making pillars, and you're going to be somech tischach on that. Does that make sense? Yeah. You're not using them. In other words, you're not using the bed post for as walls. Then the aloch is you can count from the ground. Yeah, the key. Yeah, so let's see what it says. Let's just finish the Shulchan Aruch. Im somach al aschach al amudim v'akiraim em atfanois afilu ein gavoy asor me'amito al aschach k'sheiro kivin sheish asor tfochim me'oretz al aschach. Since there is 10 tefachim from the ground to the tzach. So what it's talking about is that you'll see the picture. That you're still using them as mechitzas, physically using them as mechitzas. But you're still using that mechitzas. But beyond that, the tzach is actually leaning not on those mechitzas. There's something beyond that. Then you can count from the floor. Now there's a little bit of a hidden point over here, which is really, really, really interesting. There's a hidden point over here. We're going to finish off with that. Mishnah Berurah points out in the initial case that you need, if you've got, you're using the bedposts as mechitzas. And we're saying you're counting the 10 tefachim from the bed. What is the schach standing on? What is the schach standing on? Bedpost, bed. You've got 10 tefachim from the bed. We're saying it's kosher. But what is the schach standing on? Bedpost. Right, bedpost. Now, what do you know about bedpost with regards to Hilchas Tumah and Tahara? Exactly, they're definitely Mekabel Tumah. There are. So if that's the case, so what are you seeing over here? That the schach is what? Is exactly. We're using a VM as a ma'amid, we're using something which is mekabel tumah, and nevertheless it's kosher. Says the Mishnah Berurah, im yesh b'goyv ha'ksheira, bottom line, after ma'amid al gabe mitoshim mekabel tumah, although the bedpost is the ma'amid, is supporting the schach, and it's mekabel tumah. Why is it mekabel tumah? Because it's a kli, it's a proper kli. You're using it as a bed. It's part of the bed. We don't care about that. The kabbalas tumah schach name avolei atfanas. We don't care. The schach must not be mekabel tumah. But the mamidim ikiradin, the main halacha is the mamidim can be mekabel tumah as well. So this is just to re-emphasize and stress that we learned that there's a shmachloik is about this. Are the ma'amidim allowed to mekabel tumah or not? And we said the Shulchan Aruch first says, and the Ramah says ideally you shouldn't, but the Shulchan Aruch, we're seeing over here very clearly the Shulchan Aruch was very happy to allow a ma'amid which is mekabel tumah. He was very happy. As long as you've got the 10 tefachim from the bed all the way up. If it's a ma'amid, it's a kabel tumah, it's perfectly okay. No, I'm not even talking about the chazanish. Chazanish was talking about the ma'amid of a ma'amid. I'm talking about the ma'amid, a real mami, and even that it's okay. Yeah, well, it's not the chaznish land, it's a little bit different. Yeah, chaznish, yeah, yeah. So, but it's definitely somebody who's you've got the basic aloch is certainly that mamid of a mamid certainly is a very, very, is a big chumrah.